across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Yeah, it's time to roll up the windows, turn on the wipers, and turn up the American Adversaries Drive Time Hour on AM 660, The Answer. Lair Adams with you in the mercury-free Get That Stuff Out of Your Mouth studio. I told you about the new Benghazi emails yesterday, that if they are not the smoking gun, they are the smoldering gun that links the White House to the lie told round the world. Some poor boob's video led to the death of four men. And isn't it sick to think it was a lie to elect a president? A lie on top of other lies, on top of other lies. Now blame whoever you want, but to me, the biggest failure in this country is a propaganda media. Democrats could never win if the vineyards of truth were more than just shills for this president's sideshow. However, in the center of the ring, we have our own lion tamer to tame those who are lying, Christopher Hart!
All right, that's right, folks, and we work hard at it around here. And welcome to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And just like Lair said, we are indeed coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call my friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3333. Tell them we sent you. And that stuff really is bad for you. That those so-called silver fillings, which are really poisonous. All right, but the other thing...
It's not the silver. It's the stuff they mix with that silver to get it into your mouth, and that is what is bad.
Were they silver, you wouldn't be in such bad shape if you had them. But the fact of the matter is, what they call silver fillings is the largest portion of that filling is... It is a toxic substance, mercury. Yep.
They can't even reuse that silver to try to sell.
No, exactly. All right, welcome to the show, and we got another big one lined up for you today. Denny Weinberg, the old insurance guy, is going to join us here shortly, and we're going to talk about the final numbers, or at least as they stand now, on Obamacare. And I also want to bring up with him an article that I saw in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about a doctor who says he's had enough. He's not going to do it anymore. He's not going to play by their rules. So we'll see what Denny says about that. And our friend Nostra Dennis, our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, will be joining us later on, and we'll talk a little bit about that Benghazi memo, because it certainly does indicate that there was, by someone, in this case we know who wrote the memo, Ben Rhodes, engaged in a cover-up. The only question now we must ask is, was he put up to it? All right, so we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll also talk about a little bit more of the fallout from the L.A. Clippers owner. You know, the guy obviously deserves some form of sanction, but I'm getting a little more and more uncomfortable with the idea of the team being snatched away from him. In particular, that Magic Johnson's right in the thick of all of this, and Magic Johnson has wanted to own that team for a long time. And I'm not accusing him of anything. I just, you know, when people have their property taken away from them for something that they said, which whether we like it or not, he has the right to say in his own home, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with that.
Well, you're raising an interesting point here. You're saying Magic Johnson may have all this time been kind of interested, and he could have been a threat financially.
I'm not the first one to say that. That perhaps he was working with the girl to, because according to all the people in, quote unquote, in the know, everyone knew about this guy. You even have a front page article in the Orlando Sentinel today and an article in the New York Times, both on the same, you know, angle of attack going, why didn't somebody do something about this man long time ago? Everybody knew what a scofflaw.
Including them.
That's my point. Where were they? Who's the one that's supposed to do something about this? The people who are supposed to expose it. And I told you yesterday, Larry, during one of the breaks, I didn't tell you folks, but I was listening to ESPN radio, I guess it was Monday.
Yeah.
And for a few minutes, I thought, wow, there's been a format change here in town. Because, you know, down the dial there, they started to sound like us up the dial here. And I'm going, whoa. And turns out it wasn't. But the ESPN guys were just all over this story. They were talking about his campaign donations and this and that. And they were talking about, not only did everybody know about him, but about, and they named Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, about how how wild of a lifestyle he lives. In other words, they know all these things, but they're not going to tell us unless something like this comes up, and then they're going to act all self-righteous about it, right? So you must think that somebody at the New York Times, probably via the LA Times, who must have known something about this man's reputation, the whole thing stinks. You know, and that's why I like that article that Nostradamus read yesterday by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because he basically put the whammy on them all.
But this may be the beauty this time, Chris, of lawsuits, because lawsuits open everything up. And I kind of wonder now people aren't thinking or trying to going to start walking back a little bit here, because that exposes everything.
Yeah.
This girl, she has a good chance of being prosecuted or at least sued till she has nothing.
Yeah, yeah, and I love this.
Any book she's trying to sell or what movie, I mean, she's not going to go to her.
I love this sentiment from Carl, because this is a feeling I've been working toward all day. And Carl, thank you very much. Carl Jackson, who has his own show here every Saturday morning, he joins us on Sunday nights. He says, the principles of capitalism were working fine. And he texted this to us the other day. He was the one who was on top of this and said the sponsors were pulling out. The Wall Street Journal did a story on that yesterday. Let me read his text. He says, the principles of capitalism were working fine, but the NBA chose to use socialist mob rule principles instead. And he's exactly right. Now, as despicable as the guy may be and what he said and that and everything, we should not be dancing in the streets that something that he owns is snatched away from him because he did something that's protected by the First Amendment.
Well, and also, Chris, even in the court of law, aren't you protected from self-incrimination? This guy isn't. That's taken away.
Because
his own self-incrimination, he didn't volunteer up.
Because Carl hit the nail on the head. It's mob rule, and they used socialist principles. And this is something that, this is a vein of liberalism and socialism and progressivism that
use the emotion.
But this is something that I haven't talked to much about them, but I've had this in my mind for a long time, and that is that notice how always the liberal solution is to punish. Right? It's to punish. It's never to try to find, you know,
backlash.
But what I'm trying to say is their solution is always to punish. Their solution is never to incentivize good behavior. It's always to punish that which they don't approve of. Just look at their tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't like gay marriage? We're going to punish you. Right? We're going to boycott you. We're going to
We'll
look at the response here. We don't like what he says. We're going to, by God, punish him and punish him severely. Now, having said that, the league had every right, I believe, to fine the guy. And I think the fine was appropriate, $5 million. You know, his deep pockets, it wasn't going to sting him that bad. Banning from attending the games and all that, I can see that. Taking his team away, those owners who are going to have to vote on this better think long and hard.
Well, you still, to my point, you still have to go to where did the evidence come from? If you can't really use that evidence legally, because people have free speech rights, they have the right to be told if it's being recorded, all of that. If all of that is being stripped from you, how can you use that? You couldn't use that information in court of law.
Yeah.
Not at all. You could never use that.
Yeah. And by the way, and Oscar Dennis just texted me, too, and we'd set this up for later on in the show when he joins us. But he's got a list of 8 things that will not get you kicked out of the NBA that he says are pretty hilarious stuff. So I guess he got, as long as he was doing the other 8 things or whatever they happened to be, it was okay. But he finally stepped over the line. But
10 ways to lose your basketball team.
But it just rubs me a little bit the wrong way that everybody's so gleeful that this guy's team is going to be snatched away from him. Because, hey, you know, it's just like the Bible story. He who is not sin, let him cast the first stone. Which one of us has not said something stupid in private or maybe to some friends or something like that, that if it got out, it might ruin your reputation? I mean, people better be careful about this. Be careful of what you wish for, because it can always come back to bite you in the rear end. And I'm just a little nervous about
again, with
this.
Lawsuits, people are going to start digging for evidence, and that's where stuff's going to hit the fan, and people are going to start bailing off away from this so fast.
And this is the kind of guy, and I hope he does, that if the NBA takes his team away from him, he sues him. Okay, and by the way, before we get out of here to the break, I just want to wish happy birthday to Pasquale Barba. That's right.
No
at Cafe Positano, which is where we're heading today after the show. Yeah, it was a couple of days ago, but Pasquale just celebrated his birthday. So please, folks, when you go to Cafe Positano over the next week or two, grab Pasquale and say, Happy birthday! And then give him a kiss on each cheek. He'll love it. We'll be right back.
I'm David Smith.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to The American Adversaries. And you can watch us, too, just like our friend David Levitt, who's watching us right now. Hey, David, on Ustream TV, or excuse me, Ustream.tv. Or you can go to our Facebook
Lucas,
site.
Lucas, are you watching us?
And tap it in there, too, because Lucas is working the camera over there. He's being our cameraman
tonight. He's 5 feet from me, and he's watching me on TV.
There you go. Okay. So welcome back to the show. If you'd like to be a part of the show today, the number is 407-774-8255. And if you folks were watching during the break, there you saw Bruce Cherry in here. We were talking. There are some nuances to this that no one is taking the team away from the man. The team is going to vote on whether to basically bump him out of the league and make him sell the team,
or try to make him
exactly. But nonetheless, I'm still uncomfortable when so many people are so happy about the prospect, even though when he signed on with the NBA, as Bruce pointed out, you do sign, there is a clause in the contract, and there are a clause in many entertainment contracts, believe me, that if you engage in unacceptable behavior, whatever that might be, and usually it's pretty well specified that the contract can be declared null and void, or there can be sanctions against you. So that's not unusual. So the man did put himself into that position. I'm not so much arguing about what the league is doing to him. I'm just there just seems to be so many people so happy that the man's team is going to be taken away from him for something that he said in private, deplorable as it was.
And as far as basketball in particular, does it help to have Charles Barkley say that everybody knows it's a black league?
It's a black league. Okay, well, how about some affirmative action? Everybody likes affirmative action? Let's have some affirmative action
in the
NBA.
White league?
Well, no, not that. It's require each team to have so many white players, and according to the United States population, which means that each team will have a majority of white players. That's right. There you go. We solved that problem, didn't we? That's what affirmative action is all about. If you think that's ridiculous, the other flip side of it is just as ridiculous. It's a bad idea from the get-go, because the main thing that it does is that it tells the people that are getting the affirmative action that you don't have to work hard. And that's the worst thing that you could ever inflict on a human spirit. All right, having said that, I want to get to our guest because there's another pretty bad thing that's being inflicted on us right now, and it's called Obamacare. This man's been with us a number of times on the show, and we'll keep going back to him because, you know, he's our ace in the hole when it comes to Obamacare. You can find him at oldinsuranceguy.com. Of course, I'm talking about Denny Weinberg. Denny, thanks again for being with us.
He's not that old.
Thanks. Well, good to be back with you.
All right. We appreciate it. We appreciate it very much. First of all, the latest out of the White House, over 8 million enrollees. True or false?
Well, it may be true. I think the bigger question is what is the significance of that number? We've all been sort of brought to the place of focusing like a laser beam on this number of people that are going to be largely getting free health insurance through these private exchanges. And, my big question at this point is, we're about to spend $1.5 trillion. What is it that is the measure of success? And I can tell you it's not that 8 million number, whether it's 8 or 7 or 9 or 12. There's a much bigger question.
And we don't know, how many of those people is the government allowing any information as to how many of the people have paid, who have enrolled, who never had insurance before, or who had lost their insurance and had to go into the pool? Are they giving us any of those statistics?
Well, this administration seems incompetent to provide even the most basic data, but I'll tell you what I do. I tune in each quarter on every one of the national managed care meetings with investors. They occur quarterly, and as a matter of fact, there was one this morning. My old company, WellPoint, announced its first quarter results, and previously UnitedHealthcare has, and the others will as well. And now those are reports to investors, so there is an expectation that everything is disclosed to investors. So you get a lot of good information there. And there was quite a few questions and quite a bit asked this morning and on the previous a couple of calls about this question of the impact of Obamacare.
Well, I just heard this last week, Denny, that actually it was today that health care costs this last year jumped the highest since 1980.
Well,
I think it was nearly 9%.
Yeah, there's nothing about this law that would suggest that bending the curve of health care is going to occur. We have a terrible problem with third-party insurance. This is a product that somebody else is paying for and you're using. And there's very little limit to the amount of health care somebody can choose to use. And so if every patient is not connected in some way to the cost of their care, at least meaningfully enough to where it matters to them, then we shouldn't be surprised that we have year after year inflation rates like we do. There is no end to the appetite for health care.
Speaking of the cost of care, we are affiliated with a website called SoundbiteRx.com, and yesterday they put up a story, and I'll find it maybe during the break, what the source was, but that said that for each person who enrolled, it's going to cost the American taxpayer to get them enrolled, the subsidies, all this and that, an average of $53,000 per person. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, this is the problem I was getting to. If we're measuring success based on looking at how many Americans buy into these private exchanges, you just take the $1.5 trillion number and you divide it by 8 million and you get a very, very large number. And so it's not just the subsidies. The subsidies are massive. And from the calls I've listened into, it seems that about 80% of the people that are buying from exchanges are being heavily subsidized or completely subsidized. So we're all paying for that.
Right.
The bigger problem is when these insurance companies report their enrollment isn't changing that much. So it's pretty obvious to me that these people were mostly insured and probably either they or their employer were paying 100% of the premiums last year. So we as taxpayers have been given the gift of relieving 8 million people from paying the full cost of their health care, and now they're paying 20% of the cost of their health care. And we're paying the rest. And they were previously willing and able to be covered.
Yeah. This is something that I've expressed here, and that is that nothing has really been solved. We've just sort of shifted the misery around, if you will. And it's in its own way, it's just been a shell game. And it has, however, affected the president, certainly politically speaking. I guess he can brag that at least there's one good thing about Obamacare. Evidently, according to the economists, if it were not for the spending on Obamacare, we would not have had even 0.1% of growth in the first quarter after the adjusted numbers came out.
That was awful.
And that you're raising a good point. It was just meager growth, virtually no growth at all. But aside from this subsidy issue, the states were given between $20 and $25 billion to set up these private exchanges.
Yeah.
Now, these exchanges were not they weren't replacing something in the previous system. They're an addition to what we had in the previous system.
Right.
Instead of going to your broker, your agent, or going directly to an insurance company, if you want to take advantage of these subsidies, you have to go to one of these private exchanges. And all they do is enter you into the system and connect you to the broker or to the insurance company that you would have been dealing with last year all by yourself. So, we've spent $20 billion on systems, on telephone, people to answer telephones, all the problems we've been hearing about. That was all, from my viewpoint, an unnecessary additional gap between a patient and their doctor.
Yeah, just a whole new layer of bureaucracy, middleman, whatever you want to call it. Hey, Denny, will you stay with us through the break? I've got a couple more questions, one from a listener of ours.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back, folks.
American Adversaries here, of course, Sunday through Friday, 5 o'clock, and news is coming up next.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake ML Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230.
Hi, folks. I'm Christopher Hart for SoundBiteRx.com, the place where you go to get the cure for those sound bites. Let me give you a little rundown of what you'll find brand new today at SoundBiteRx.com, and then I want to focus on one article that they put up as well. This I think you could read this from both directions, but the article is written that if Democrats lose, they fear that President Obama will give in to Republicans because of his legacy and having to work with Republicans. You can also see that Republicans maybe should fear that if we win, our side might work with the president. All right, maybe that'll be a good thing. Anyway, you'll find that at soundbiterx.com. This is about something that Bob Schieffer said on his show a Sunday morning, Fake the Nation. He said if Jeb Bush doesn't run for president, Mitt Romney may very well. He has a source that he says knows that. All right, and this you'll find at soundbiterx.com. Vladimir Putin has been for a long time saying, you know, he intended to put the old Soviet Union back together. Here's where you can find his actual quotes and when he said them. Did you know that Iran's economy is still hurting in spite of some of the sanctions being relieved? And it's hurting the new president's popularity, but we know they got an iron fist over there. And there's a whole lot more at soundbiterx.com that you can find there today as well. But I want to focus for a moment on this article because this highlights something that I was talking about before President Obama was reelected. And my prediction was, you know, his second term was going to be no cakewalk, that his friends will become his enemies. Now, Maureen Dowd has never really been a true friend, I guess, of President Obama's, at least in his mind, because he didn't like her comment about his ears. But she is now piling on. She has accused him of whiffing, if you will, striking out in his foreign policy and of looking weak and undecisive in front of world leaders and on the world stage, and how everyone is noticing it, and it's very unbecoming of a president that he seems to depict of what a president should not be rather than what a president should be. About time y'all liberals figured that one out. Heck, we have only known that for 5, 6, 7 years now. Oh, well. Don't forget, folks, soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. And away we go during drive time. It's wet out, a little wet out there, folks, so be careful. I think most of the rain has moved through our general area here, but the roads will be wet, so be careful as you are in drive time, and you are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Our number is 407-774-8255. If you'd like to join the conversation, right now we have Denny Weinberg. You can find him at oldinsuranceguy.com, and we're talking about sort of a game wrap, if you will, on Obamacare's first rollout year. And Denny, I want to go back to you. Now that we've been through this turmoil for the first time, what's going to happen next?
Well, I think as the year progresses, there are going to be some dynamics that nobody's thought about. For example, Just because somebody purchases insurance on January 1st and pays for it January 1st, it doesn't mean when they get a bill for February, they're going to pay February. And when they get a bill for March, they're going to pay March and all through the year. We act a bit as though people coming into this system for the first time only have to make one decision.
Right.
The way this program has been structured, people make a decision every single month for the rest of their life. And so we're going to see attrition, first of all, and it's going to be those people that are going to tend to leave the program are going to be the people that are the healthiest because they will be making a value decision. Is it worth me spending money every month for something that I don't really feel I need? And so we're going to see the risk pool probably deteriorate, and it will take a while for that to be evident, but that's one of the dynamics that will take place. The second dynamic is that small businesses largely have not had to face this yet, and many large businesses haven't because they all renewed their insurance coverage in December, 1 month prior to the effective date of Obamacare, which gave them a year reprieve. And when they roll around to the fall and have to renew into this program with all its limitations and with the mandated coverages that they're not going to be happy about, we're going to see a new groundswell of anger that's going to build. And they're going to be facing much higher premiums this time around.
Yeah. Can somebody get insurance now on the private market without having to mess with Obamacare?
You could, well, certainly any employer can purchase coverage from an insurer anytime they want. And individuals who may want to purchase their own policy, as long as they can demonstrate that they've had a, you know, what's defined as a change in life circumstances, a new job, had to move, got married, aged out of my parents' policy, there's a broad number, that somehow I couldn't get it when I tried. It was too frustrating. All those arguments probably would mean somebody could get it even now. Nobody's going to turn them away. Think about it. If you were a state exchange struggling with this, with these numbers, you would do anything.
You're going to take anything you can get.
Exactly. And so I don't think anybody's going to be turned away.
But let's just say I didn't want to go to the state exchange. I just wanted to go down the street here to State Farm or something. Is that still possible for me to do that, or is that no longer an option?
And when people ask me that question, I give them a practical answer. I said, look, if you're low enough income that you could qualify for a subsidy, why not go get the subsidy? If you are not going to qualify for a subsidy, why would you go to an exchange? Why
Right.
do you want that extra layer and all that hassle? Just go directly to an insurance company. And I just tell everybody, I don't care what month it is, go ahead and apply.
Yeah.
You know, they may have a way to get you in, and it's their own decision. If you're dealing with an insurance company, they want to decide to enroll you, especially if you're in decent health. They're not going to turn you away.
Yeah, that's some good advice. I appreciate that. And you clarified that up for me and some other people out there, I hope, as well. I have another question here that we got from one of our listeners, and we tried to find the answer ourselves. And I must admit, Denny, looked like we were barking up two different trees. Are Muslims exempt from Obamacare because of their religion?
I don't think I've heard that.
We looked it up, and in some instances, some of the answers that we got, in some instances, it was yes. In other cases, as a general rule, it was no.
Well, I think it'll be no. The default will be no. If you're a taxpayer in the United States and you're dealing with the IRS, you're going to have to answer the question on next year's tax forms, which will be another interesting surprise for Americans. Your tax form will have some new entries. You're going to have to certify that you were covered by insurance during the year 2014 or be subject to a penalty.
Right.
So if you're a taxpayer, it's not going to say unless you're a Muslim. So everyone's going to have to deal with the IRS tax question with their 2014 your filings, and I'm sure lots of people will deal with that question differently, just like they deal with other IRS issues differently.
What we do know that there are certain groups of people who are exempt from Obamacare. Is there going to be a place on the new IRS form for them to indicate that?
Well, the question is, are you exempt from a penalty? I think the question has to be very clear. Are you exempt from a penalty because of a religious conviction. And, for example, if you work for a church,
right,
and your policy did not contain coverage for abortions, we know that you're allowed to do that. But that doesn't mean you're exempt from Obamacare. It just means you're able to buy a non-standard insurance policy.
I see. I see. Of course, looking toward the election, the president has tried to put off as much of the pain as possible. Actually, I saw an article the other day that said that the worst of this probably won't come until he's out of office. Is it really that bad? I mean, because we've seen some pretty bad stuff already.
Well, I think there will be, as I said, there will be inklings all along the way. So even as we come up to the midterm elections, there will be new information every quarter about the question of whether this program is successful or a failure against its stated goals. And I think that question is going to be pretty hard to answer in the affirmative. And there will be more and more evidence. And I think more folks like me will be suggesting that the question have more dimensions to it, not just how many people are covered in one piece of the market, but net-net, how many uninsured people are covered today who weren't, and what is the cost of insurance, and how much has been shifted from the private sector to the taxpayers? And those seems to me those questions have to be answered before midterm, and they can, and I think they can. Now, we get into next year, and we're going to start seeing many other dynamics play out that are probably going to all have the effect of pushing insurance rates higher and higher in 2015 and 2016. So I do believe by the time the presidential election rolls around, this program will have had to have been substantially modified, or it's going to be under great pressure. It's going to have created a great pressure on the American economy.
Okay. I want to go to our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, who has a question or two for you, Denny. Nostra Dennis.
Yeah, Denny, thank you. I have two questions. First, I am an optimist, and I think that if we can get a conservative in the White House, a lot of the effects of Obamacare can be undone either by repealing or just by nicking away at it with 1,000 paper cuts. But my question is, how will the insurance industry be able to roll with these changes and perhaps get back to some semblance of normalcy? Is that possible? And if it is, how long is that going to take?
I think the insurance industry can roll with these changes pretty quickly. They're shell-shocked right now because they have been the ones who have had to deal with so many of these last-minute changes, and that drives them crazy. But if there were a substantial change in policy that said, especially after this is largely implemented, and the idea is now how can we reduce the harmful effects and how can we maybe enhance some positive market-based effects, which are the things that the old insurance guys write about all the time. If those things are done in a thoughtful way and then they're passed in laws that are clear, that aren't 2,000 pages, but that are clear, the insurance industry has a reasonable amount of notice, I think they'll be able to make changes easily. Because most of what is going to come, if there was a Republican Congress and a Republican president, would be to return more options to people through the private market and let the private market provide many, many more options, not just this gold, silver, and bronze that's been defined by a bunch of policy wonks.
Right. Dennis, last question, please.
Yeah, second question. Denny, I'm a pessimist. I really fear for what's coming ahead of my future. And I work for a big corporation. I know a lot of people in our listening audience do. We have not yet felt the effects of Obamacare because we're covered by our major corporation. What percentage do you think of American workers who work for big companies are still in danger of losing their care in a year or 2 years or 3 years?
Well, the problem is those employees need to be seen by the same physicians and hospitals and labs and pharmacies as a person who is uninsured. And the troubling aspect of Obamacare is that it has really destroyed the financial balance between the patient and the doctor. And as you know from so many anecdotes, there are physicians who are dropping out of Medicare, dropping out of the expanded Medicaid program, and even dropping out of the private insurance programs. And that means those physicians are only going to be available to the more wealthy people who are willing to pay, put it on their credit card or pay for it directly. So every American, regardless of where you're employed, may find it much more difficult to get care in the future.
As a matter of fact, there was a doctor who wrote an op-ed piece in yesterday's Wall Street Journal. I was just trying to find it here. But he said he's had enough. He's sick and tired of bureaucrats telling him how to practice medicine. You think we'll see more and more of that, Denny?
Yes, we will. And that's not a new trend. In the private market, the insurance companies have to deal with that question. When you've got the government, who's really not equipped, they really don't understand how sensitive these dynamics are, and their only way to balance a budget is to reduce payments to doctors and hospitals. They'll exaggerate that problem, and the demonstration of that is that the private market pays doctors and hospitals substantially more than the government does through Medicare and Medicaid. So, if we're trying to move more and more people into Medicaid and make the private market look more like Medicaid, then you can be sure more and more doctors are going to say, I'm just not going to do this anymore.
All right. Okay, Denny, we got to leave it there for today, but we'll get you back again here in the near future, I'm sure.
Great talking to you guys.
Thanks very much. Okay, that was Denny Weinberg, and you can find him at oldinsuranceguy.com, and you'll find us on the other side of this break.
AM 660, The Answer.
Guys, stimulate my brain.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Now, here's a great chance to come out and snuggle with us because we're going to be participating in the 5th Celebrity Golf Tournament, and that's going to kick off the Celebrity Affair, if you will. The whole fun package kicks off 1 week from tonight, and that is going to include a Celebrity 9-Hole Golf Challenge under the lights. And this is all going to be occurring at the Orange Lake Resort in Kissimmee. That's a beautiful place down there. And if you don't want to do that, you can join Nostradamus and I, and we're going to play some Celebrity Texas Hold'em. That's right. It's going to be a Texas Hold'em tournament. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. You can get in on this by calling Gary Tolley at 321-663-3709. It's to benefit the Kiwanis Club of South Lake Foundation, and they help out children, you know, who are in need. 321-663-3709. It's being sponsored by Three Dogs Printing of Claremont and Sarasota, Lake Apopka. I better learn how to talk before I go into this business. Lake Apopka Natural Gas District and the South Lake Hospital. 321-663-3709. A week from tonight, it's going to be a lot of fun. Come on out and join us. Speaking of join us, we have Nostradamus with us. And Nostradamus, now we kind of know now what'll get you kicked out of the NBA. What won't get you kicked out of the NBA?
Yeah, thank you to Breitbart.com for putting this list together, because it's good to know what you can do and still not get thrown out of the NBA, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, choking. And I don't mean not coming up big in the playoffs. I mean actually choking your coach like Latrell Sprewell did to his coach P.J. Carlesimo back in 1997.
I remember that, yes. Yeah, there was a big controversy. Yeah.
He was suspended. He was fined. But he got to come back.
Yep.
Being a publicly vicious, racist, wild black. Spike Lee, do you remember what he said in the aftermath of the George Zimmerman verdict? I seriously wanted to pick up a gun and shoot whites. The only way to resolve matters is by bloodshed. He's still allowed to attend NBA games.
Wow.
Jay-Z. You remember Jay-Z, part owner of the Brooklyn Nets? He was spotted recently at an NBA game wearing a necklace medallion for the 5% Nation, which sees black men as gods and white people as devils.
Yeah, that's out of the old Calypso Louis Farrakhan handbook.
That's right, and that reminds me of, I meant to say a few days ago, what if we flipped the script and Jay-Z was caught on tape telling his girlfriend, I don't want you coming to my NBA games with your white friends. Well, Jay-Z's wife is Beyonce, so he probably wouldn't say that to his girlfriend. But still, if you flip the script, would there be any outrage over a black NBA owner saying something like that?
Hard to tell.
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's highly doubtful, because you have to understand that the reason that this is tolerated behavior amongst blacks and not whites is because they were the ones victimized. And so in perpetuity now, they are going to have a free pass for basically bad behavior.
Hey, here's some more. Ready?
Perpetual grievance.
Exactly. Very good way to put it.
You can try to coerce your girlfriend to have an abortion and then harass her about it when she won't, as guard J.J. Redick, formerly of the Magic and currently of the L.A. Clippers, tried to do with his girlfriend. In fact, they wrote into a financial agreement an abortion clause. That did not get him fined, suspended, or anything from the NBA. You can attack fans of your sport. Steven Jackson and Ron Artest of the Pacers leapt into the stand in Detroit to attack fans in 04. Jermaine O'Neal fought fans on the court. Ron Artest was suspended. Jackson was suspended. O'Neal was suspended for various amounts of games, but they all got to come back. You can use anti-game slurs, such as Kobe Bryant did, Roy Hibbert of the Pacers, the Houston Rockets team, Amare Stoudemire of the Knicks, and current forward of the L.A. Clippers, Matt Barnes. You can do that, and you can still play. You can discriminate against black people in housing. As we know, Donald Sterling did that back in the late 90s and early 2000s. He was not reprimanded at all for that. You can draw your gun on a fellow player. Gilbert Arenas did that in the clubhouse with his teammate Javaris Crittenden. He was suspended for 38 games, but he got to come back and play. And you can practice reckless driving resulting in a passenger's death. J.R. Smith of the Denver Nuggets pled guilty to reckless driving. One of his reckless driving events resulted in one of his passengers dying. And for that, he got a suspension of 9 games.
Wow.
Now, this doesn't mean that Sterling's racism is okay. It just means there's a lot of things you can do and not be suspended or punished in some cases at all by the NBA.
Yeah. Well, I like the way that Carl framed it. What we have right now going on is an emotionally driven mob mentality, and that never really, you know, works out the best in the end. But we'll hope that this time it might.
Well, and we all know that reverse racism is still racism.
All right. Thank you, Nostradamus. See you over to Cafe Positano's here momentarily. Folks, I wish you could have come out last night and saw Kevin Freeman give his presentation at the Tea Party. It was a great presentation. And in the end, he said the main thing that the United States needs is prayer. We need to pray for the restoration of this great nation. And we can all start that, of course, tonight, but we can start it as a nation tomorrow at the National Day of Prayer. Please join us over at Maitland's National Day of Prayer. That's going to be at the Maitland Civic Center, and it starts at 6 o'clock, and it's formally 6 to 7 with a walk afterwards. And wherever you do it, please, please, please pray for the United States of America.
Friends, Roxy Pacifics is going to the dogs. Yes, it's great for dogs. Any kind of cats, whatever. Not just you and your family. It's great for your pets, too. Because if you'll see a lot of the products that you give your dog to help your skin, it contains kelp. And that's what Roxy Pacifics is. It's all natural kelp water. It's got natural vitamins. It's natural antibacterial properties, etc. And it really works. It's worked for everyone. So many people in Orlando and Central Florida have ordered it. The phone number is 619-654-4829. Again, 619-654-4829. I hear Italian food also helps your skin. Because that's where we're going tonight, right, Chris?
Just get lots of garlic on it. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Good night, everybody.
Go.
We just touched ground on an international run.
AM 660, The Answer, 24.